Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit. I hope you have been having a great week. I'm excited about today's conversation. I get to have some more chats with my good friends, Don Jackson and Hillary Holmes. And really what we're wanting to do is help set up just some really good conversations for women and for anybody who is really realizing how much of their life has been dictated by fear. And I would probably go out on the limb to say that that's a lot of us. I know that fear has been a huge part of my story in my life. And so we just have a really good conversation today about, you know, really all of us are getting our needs met in one way or another. Oftentimes it's in an unhealthy way. And so what are ways in which we can get these needs met in a healthy way that glorifies God, that helps us walk in our purpose and our calling? It's just so good. Before we head into that, I just want to let you know that we had a merch launch. We have put out just some cool sweaters and t-shirts, some mugs and tumblers and some more different kinds of hats and stuff, which I'm just excited about. Honestly, you know, the goal in this is not to try and be salesy and just put out more stuff. Like, I really love this idea of seeing people walking around with like a sweatshirt that says, "Take your thoughts captive." Or my mind belongs to Jesus. Like, I just think that's such a beautiful reminder for people. And we don't realize how many of us and others are walking around just bogged down because of what's going on in our mind. Like, we all walk around with this internal dialogue 24/7. Studies show that 80% of our thoughts are usually negative. So we got people walking around here just having the worst thoughts at all times. And what a cool reminder that people can see and just be reminded or even be challenged or be like, question, like, my mind belongs to Jesus. What does that mean? So really, this is just another way that Wisdom and Wellness, we really want to help set the captives free. And that goes for people who struggle with chronic pain as well as emotional pain, anxiety. I mean, so many people are going through so many things right now. And so I'm just excited that we got to launch that. If you know, you're just tuning in now, Wisdom and Wellness, www.com is where you can find all my resources. I am a coach and I help those who struggle with chronic pain. I have a lot of resources, my ebook. I have a 21-day course for those who are wanting to find freedom from chronic pain. We also have mini courses, which are just way shorter versions and a little bit maybe more palatable for you if you want to do it, you know, slower. So these are just ways in which we really want to just help empower you. This journey with chronic pain, sickness, any kind of disease, it just feels like, where do I start? What do I do? I'm so confused and lost and angry and sad and overwhelmed. And so, you know, I really, really, really wholeheartedly believe the way to start is with nervous system regulation and understanding the way that our mind and our nervous system really has a huge role to play in pain in general, all pain. So it's this really beautiful thing. Science and research and medicine have really caught up to this idea that the mind and the body are not separate entities. In fact, our body is just an expression, a longer expression of what's going on in our mind and in our brain. So, you know, it's really not a separate conversation. When we talk about pain, we got to talk about the brain and the nervous system. So I just feel like these are great, empowering resources for you. If you have questions, if you're confused or you're like, what are you talking about? Please feel free to hit me up through my website or Instagram at Whitney Wynn Music. I'd love to chat with you. I'm just so passionate about helping people really, really feel empowered and have more hope about their body and their health. And so that is something that I would love to chat with you if you have questions. So let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Dawn Jackson and Hillary Holmes.
How are you guys?
How are you?
Good. Wait, I realized this morning I haven't seen you in person in like a month. I've just seen you on Zoom and Instagram Live.
That's horrible.
Withdrawals. I know.
Good. We have a very full lives. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
We do. I know we got a lot coming up. We're excited. We're only a few weeks out from Living by Design.
2 weeks?
Woo!
2 weeks minus a day, which is crazy.
Yeah, we're so excited because, you know, lots of people have been signing up. So it's been so fun to just see. We're really expecting it. We keep meeting and we've been talking a lot about it. And today we were talking a little through this idea of living out of our needs, and me and Hill have learned a lot because Dawn, you were the one who really, you know, the first one we ever heard anything about this from. And I think one of the profound things that, you know, you've said is that all of us are living out of our needs. We're just not getting them met. We're getting them met either healthily or unhealthily, which was so eye opening to me. Cause I was like, interesting.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And when you say, like, and I was on the same journey. I mean, I had just recently discovered this in the whole coaching world. And
yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, we either meet our needs in by being driven, we let them, and we may not even be aware that we even have these needs.
Right.
In fact, even in the write-up that we were going to be doing, the post we did earlier today, 95% of people think they're self-aware, but only 15% are.
Wow.
Like 80% of people are not aware that they lack self-awareness.
Oh my goodness.
That is hilarious. And it's like, but I mean, that's the reality. It really is the reality for most people. We don't realize what's driving us, how we occur in the world of other people. And so, these core needs, I know we're going to spend some time in the workshop unpacking that, but these core needs, they're there, they're drivers. Mm-hmm. And when they're not met in a healthy way, it really limits our ability to live creatively. And, so I know we chatted on this, it's been a while since we actually did that needs assessment. But, like, so what is it that sort of grabbed you guys when you were first discovering the needs?
Well, first I'll just say that re-looking at these to prep for this helped me realize that I was living in some lack of self-awareness since our last talk about it.
We love that. Don't we all feel so big and bad? Like, no, I know what I'm like. And then people tell you, like, how you come across and you're like,
It can be hard to face that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and you just hit on the two reasons why people lack self-awareness. One is blind spots, and the other one is that we have this image of ourselves we want to keep, so we don't want to look under the hood to see what's actually there.
Wow. Oh yeah.
That's fear. That's fear.
Right. Which is, it is so fear-based. And it's interesting. Oh, Kelly said hi. Hi, Kelly. I'm like waiting as if she can say hi back.
It's awesome.
I think when we, you know, really started looking at them, I actually redid it again yesterday because prepping for it, just to see how even like if where I feel like I'm at in life, you know, we were talking about like sometimes our needs can actually change. And I think for me, the thing was like, I've never wanted to feel so needy. Like there's like this, I don't know if it feels like we are so like self-obsessed to be like, I'm needy or, you know, just like this whole conversation around like, I don't know, to have needs makes me, I don't like to inconvenience people. Like all of these kinds of like things and stereotypes and, you know, all of those kinds of things that come up for me. And the funny thing was we all did our needs assessments and we were talking about it. And I redid it again, but, you know, one of my biggest needs is comfort. And I was like, okay, like as a Christian, like I'm not really supposed to be, called comfort, you know? And one of my other ones is beauty and pleasure. So I'm like, okay, this feels wrong, but it was really helpful as we unpacked it. because I was like, okay, like a need isn't good or bad.
Right.
Is what I've been hurting. It's not good or bad. Yes. It's like you were saying, it's the ways in which we're getting these needs met. You know, and then it was actually this beautiful discovery for me because so like comfort, you know, it's like, all right, I definitely, you know, live a life of comfort, not all times, but, you know, like in the morning, I love my coffee and I love, you know, to be in the sun and to be like, I ground in the grass and, you know, my outfit of choice is usually involving sweats, you know, but I think you guys were able to help me see like that need isn't a bad need.
Right.
And in fact, like God can use those needs for me to experience even him, you know, in ways. So I think that was like, that was a big thing for me, was having to like not be ashamed of what I realized some of my needs were.
Yeah. There is no shame in needs whatsoever. Yeah. Exactly. Needs are neutral, but they're something that we all have them, and it's just being able to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
It's just so important. So important. So yeah, they're not bad. They're not wrong. And there are healthy ways of having them met. So mm-hmm. How about you, mm-hmm. Hill?
Yeah, so I as well judged mine. My top two are to be loved and to be cared for. And that for me was like, I feel, well, one, I felt so needy, but also I'm like, those are such mushy needs. Like, I don't, and I didn't even really relate to it at first. I was like, yeah. I don't know. I was like, I don't feel like I walk around like I need to be loved by everybody and all that. But it really, what really helped me understand it was we kind of bring up Enneagram here and there, but my Enneagram is a 2-wing 3. So I have seen how I get that need met in an unhealthy way and have even more in the past is to, as a 3, a high 3-wing, I can change myself. I can look around me and see like, what does this person need from me? Or who does this person want me to be? And yeah. I'll become that to get that need met. Where like underneath, what I really am desiring is to be loved and cared for who I actually am.
Yep.
But living out of that anxious, like, who do all these people need me to be? And if I'm in a room where like this person needs me to be this and this person needs me to be that, I can just shut down because like, what a like crazy place to be. So, and really what that has kept me from in my life, like getting that need met in an unhealthy way, is kept me from authenticity and really knowing myself and really allowing others to know who I really am. So, so yeah, that has like driven me a lot and driven me into some very dark, unhealthy places.
Yeah. You know, when I first took it, and I was doing the coaching, like my coursework and all of that, and then discovering that one of mine was this need to achieve, and it felt so like what the heck is that about, you know? But you know, it's in that process of discovering these, and I know we're gonna deep dive more on this in the workshop, but in that process of discovering these, we meet Jesus there and we process them, and he begins to reveal what's actually underneath those things. And deep down under was just this need to be valued, and I wanted to be valued because I had fear of abandonment, and there's my fear. Boom, right there. So it actually became taking the time to actually sit with it, to look under the hood, and not be ashamed of the need, because meeting it in an unhealthy way would mean walking over people to get things, to get, you know, achievements or always whatever that looked like. And so there's so much freedom in coming face to face with the truth, reality. I think it's Dr. Cloud who says reality is our friend. And you know, once we know what that is, then wow, there's just so much work that God can do, the Holy Spirit can do in our lives, which is really powerful.
Yeah, that's really good. Evelyn said fear being rejected of who one truly is. For sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us. I think, you know, Hill, you're talking about like a lot of us become what we think other people want and need us to be. And I totally identify with that, too, because I'm like this huge people pleaser. I'm not. I'm recovery people.
Yes.
There we go.
But it's, you know, it's even, yeah, when we're so focused on what we think people need from us, oftentimes that's not even really what it is. Right. We're like, again, we're just assuming, but then we're teaching people how to treat us and how to relate to us. And so, you know, if people only know, you know, me, I think for a while, you know, I was like, I need to be like the hype, funny. And I just want to like, you know, I want to make people have fun and enjoy, you know, when I was out with my friends and stuff. So I was teaching them like, I'm only this way, you know? Yeah. So then whenever I wasn't, then it was like, are you okay? Is something wrong? Like, what's going on? Right. Like, oh no, I'm just like, is just me okay? Can I just be me? You know? And then I'm putting this narrative on them like, oh, they only want me around for entertainment and to, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it's, it's
exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think all of us found freedom in some way too, of looking at, you know, and if you want to talk a little bit about this, Dawn, like most of us aren't even getting our needs met. So then we're not even, and this is something down the road that we're going to talk about, mm-hmm. right? More.
Yeah.
After November 9th. But most of us aren't even getting our needs met to where then we're not even able to like look past some of those basic needs to then living out of like these values that we want to, you know, live out of. When I was looking at some of my values, I was like, oh yeah, I don't even, what? Like, I don't even think I can attain any of that, you know?
Yeah.
Which,
yeah. You know, it's built off of, for anybody who took any, like, you know, your first or second year in college, a basic psych course or maybe high school psychology, but just a guy by the name of Maslow. All of a sudden, the name went out of my brain. But anyway, Maslow, he had that hierarchy of needs. And if you have any remembrance of that at all, some of you might be like, nope, block that out after the class is done. Basically, you have to have the lower needs met before you can have the higher needs met. And the lowest needs, of course, are food and shelter and all these, you know, physical needs that we actually need. But then as you climb in that, so this is sort of built off that same thought pattern. And yeah, if these needs are not being met in a healthy way, because when we're meeting them in an unhealthy way, we are driving, we're being driven by them. We are living with frustration, anger, like all types of stuff. But when they're met in a healthy way, we feel relieved. And then it empowers us now to go and actually start to live from our values, which I know we're going to be doing some work on that after the first of the year and offering some opportunities. And it's out of our values. We get to be creative and we're called to create. God called us to create, but we get so stuck in the other stuff that we're not actually able to be creative. So,
What are, you know, how each one of us, I think we all kind of judge each one of our needs. Is there like a certain need? I mean, we kind of talked about it, but one in which you realized you were functioning unhealthy, and then ways in which you've learned how to now kind of navigate that in a more healthy way?
I'll share on that. So my second highest need is freedom. And I didn't actually judge that one because it just felt like, I kind of am proud of the fact that I like to live from a place, I truly like to live from a place of authenticity. And I like my yes to be yes. And I like it to come from my choice, not feeling pressured or whatever. So, but I just realized, like, I definitely got that need met in an unhealthy way by, like, for instance, hating rules and, like, or feeling like heavy emotions were like stifling me. So I would, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I would view, like, I would be afraid that if I sat with my emotion, it would take away my freedom. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be able, I would be encumbered or like stuck in that emotion. Mm-hmm. So I just avoid it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like realizing in that case that actually avoiding emotion is the opposite of freedom. Mm-hmm. And that they actually stifle us even more when we avoid them. So that's been a huge way of like learning to get my needs met in a healthy way, is like actually allowing myself to be encumbered even just for a little bit with the emotion, so that it moves through me and I can feel it and process it, and then it's not controlling me anymore.
That's really good. Yeah. So and good. Then have you noticed, because obviously everything we learn, like we're all always wanting to point it back to Jesus too, right? Like, we're not just trying to be better humans because it's like, we're not just focused on the self. Have you noticed how that's impacted, like, your walk with God and your time with Him?
Yeah. So my first, going back to my need to be loved and cared for who I really am, God is really the only one who can do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I spend time with Him and I read His word and I saturate myself with who God says that I am, regardless of of my sin, regardless of if I'm pleasing Him or not, that is actually how I live, you know, from just a place of not grasping and needing everybody to love me. You know, it's like, you know, that person can respond to me or make a face at me, and my whole world isn't shaken up because I already know I'm loved without condition. And that need has actually driven me to pursue God even more, because I need that so much.
Yeah.
So good. And then with freedom, like, the Bible talks about freedom a lot, you know? But there is definitely an unhealthy, like, not unhealthy, but like an immature way to get freedom, which is like rejecting all rules, rejecting all obligations, rejecting like anything that feels heavy, right?
Yeah.
But like, God actually says that like freedom is actually surrendering to the Holy Spirit and obeying. Like, that is ultimately where we find freedom in life. It's when we follow our flesh that we get stuck. So it's like, you know, I may think like, oh, I need the freedom to do what Hillary wants to do, but that's actually not freedom. So, definitely pointed me towards God.
And you just shared there preaches, like, that preaches so big. It's not about freedom to do whatever we want, but it's freedom now that we have the ability to choose that which is healthy and good, because before we couldn't even do that, you know. So anyway, that's a sermon.
Yeah,
that's really good.
That's so good. What about you, Don?
You know, for myself, I think, especially if we're taking a look at the one about being the need to achieve, and then understanding that what was under that was actually a deeper or need, which was to be valued.
Yeah.
And so for myself, just really, really deep diving and spending some time. We'll talk about some of this in the workshop as well, as some contemplative practices where I just had made sure that there was the space to have encounters with God that were not based on what I did, but just being present and letting Him love me and really receiving that love and finding my value in that. And so I think in making needs healthy, it doesn't mean that I don't want to still get things done, you know, but the driver, it's not about, well, because it's about me to get this done, but instead it can come from this place of being loved. And so then, yeah, it just transforms how I do everything. So, how about you?
Well, so I retook mine, and they're actually different, like, than
well, there's
what I
reasons for that. I said, no, there's reasons for that. You've come into a different season. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And so, yeah, one of mine is actually accomplishment, which is really interesting. Because I know that, you know, navigating years of chronic pain, I'm still working out my relationship with goals and all of that kind of stuff. But it was like, I never wanted to try and achieve anything because I didn't ever think I would anyways. So even just like as I'm looking at it today, you know, accomplishment, like they give you some other words, you know, you have it, like it says fulfill, to finish, and to realize. And so I think when I wasn't doing anything that felt accomplishing, I can get very self-bashing. Like, seriously, Whitney, you're gonna lay down right now, or like, you're just gonna sit on the couch and watch TV? Like, you deserve to get to rest. Like, have you worked hard enough to get to rest? Like, those kinds of things are, you know, have definitely been something I've struggled with. But when accomplishment comes from this place of, I think, realizing I'm never gonna fully accomplish what I want to accomplish on my own anyways. And, you know, a lot of that is like leaning into God and His calling on my life. And like, what does He even want like for me to accomplish, you know? But I also just feel like it's like coming alive to this, like, what is it not only like that makes me feel fulfilled, but help others like feel fulfilled as well. Like I don't know. I actually was excited when I saw accomplishment, you know, on here.
Awesome.
Just cause yeah, it, you know, it felt like the comfort one. I gotta, you know, I don't know, Dawn, if you want to give me a little session on here on live right now, comfort, you know, the comfort one is tough. It is a tough one because it's like, especially like when you think about the reality of our world and all, you know what I mean? And like what Christians are going through across the world and like, you know, all of this stuff. So I'm like, really, Whitney, like one of my is comfort. And under comfort, it says luxury, ease, leisure, contented.
Once again, there's no shame in that whole being comfort or, you know, wanting comfort or something like that. And you know how to lean into the uncomfortable, but that can actually be an interesting conversation. I don't know that you want to take the time to do that all here, but yeah, we could, you know, like, what's under that? So,
right. Yeah.
Think about it, though. God is ultimately our comforter.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, it came to be our comforter, right? Yeah, so it may not necessarily be a life of luxury and ease, but there may be something there, like in the sense of just like how we do need comfort. And so, you know, what that might look like might not match exactly the different words that are there on that assessment tool. But thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit who understands where we're at and how he brings comfort.
Right.
Nothing wrong with 5-star hotels either, so.
Listen, yeah, and my motto is bougie on a budget, so I'm trying to live my most luxurious life without having to make. That is interesting, but it's just so powerful to come back to, like, all of us are living in a way in which we're either doing this healthily or unhealthily. And I think, like you're saying, it's it requires a little bit of courage to realize, like,
anyway. It does. And with that courage, that time, like, even I just keep reflecting on the one that you have there, comfort, like really unpacking that with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because in the same way, you might find that there's even something deeper underneath that.
Yeah.
It's more of a driving force. It just sort of seems to go to comfort, but maybe it's something else that's actually there, you know?
Right.
So, Dawn, you said this once, and I thought it was interesting, but, like, our needs a lot of times will come from our childhood of, like, maybe what – can you maybe unpack that just a little bit? Because I don't think I fully could even articulate.
Sometimes there are parts of us that are undeveloped in that sense, like, for whatever reason, different things – was sort of left in, and maybe we had to meet things. So, like, I'll just keep back on the one that I was focusing on myself. Mm-hmm. When I realized if I performed well, can you guys hear that traffic behind me? The high school just got out for lunch, and if they did, I'm going to come in the house. Okay. Oh, because the high school kids are making a lot of noise in their cars. But, so, you know, for myself, somehow I felt like I could get my need to be valued rather than having conversations with my parents after the divorce and everything that was going on that, you know, rather than being open and honest. I mean, I was 12. I didn't have a vocabulary for that. But if I did well, I was valued, right? And so then you sort of get inside of you that I just got to keep doing this to keep that value. And so I became driven by doing and addicted to performance. And so it was a part of me that didn't really finish maybe developing there because I didn't have those conversations with my parents to really uncover what that divorce and all of that, how that, what my reaction was to it.
And then I
became enthralled with the fact of, oh my gosh, I get this attention, really good attention by being an achiever. And so I get this value. So that's going to make me feel safe because so in this job, as long as I do well and they're valued, no one's going to let me go. You know, so it's like this undeveloped piece, but I need to come under it and like, you know what? But I'm not what I do. I learned I was because that was my childhood way of a default way of getting my needs met. Okay, what does that look like now to have a healthy development in that area as an adult to understand yeah, it's good to be want value because we do all crave to be valued. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah. How am I going to get that value need met? Mm-hmm. And how can that, and so the healthy way in that. Healthy way in that, because we should also value, like, you guys are my friends. I hope you value me and I value you. Like, that's very reasonable. It doesn't mean we don't want value from people. But we have healthy ways of having those conversations so that those are met.
That's awesome.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. Ev wrote, trauma stunts physical and emotional growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think a lot of us, again, maybe it's fear, maybe it's being unaware of ways in which we are functioning, you know, unhealthily. It's interesting. I feel like I say this all the time, but, you know, from like a mind-body perspective, when we've been functioning in unhealth for so long, when we actually start to make good changes in our lives, good, like when we start to like try and create good thought habits, you know, become more disciplined and stuff, that actually can feel like dysregulation to our body, to our brain and our nervous system, because the unhealthy version of what we've been doing has become safe. And so, you know, we can start to actually, I mean, I've experienced it in myself and I know so many people, it's like we try and start to make these good changes and then it's like, wait, why do I actually feel more anxious, or why do I feel more depressed? Or like, why am I exhausted all the time? Like, why are all these things coming up? Like when I'm just trying to like set in some good habits, and it's because safe things now feel unsafe for a minute, right? It's
our brain is really
good
at
learning. But once it starts to learn, like, oh no, this is actually, you know, good. Like we all know, like when we're around really safe people who like make really intense eye contact and are so focused on us. Like when, you know, someone asks you how you're doing and they actually wait for a response, like it can actually feel really invasive sometimes. So it's like, what do I want to know? Because probably, you know, most of us are used to like this unhealthy version of, you know, not being willing to experience intimacy with people or just, you know, different things like that.
And,
you know, I think a lot of that stems back to also, the ways in which we're getting, you know, our needs met. So many of us just do it through such an unhealthy way. And it doesn't even look like, you know, like the things, you know, when we're like drugs and alcohol and like all of those things. But it's like, you know, how am I, you know, with comfort, it's like, okay, am I unwilling to, you know, to not do anything that makes me feel, you know, uncomfortable? And there's definitely been times in my life where I'm like, no, like that's part of the reason I don't like hiking, you know, because, you know, listen, after a certain amount of hours, I'm like, okay, my feet hurt, I'm hungry, I want to sit down, I want a bed, you know, there's all those kinds of things, so interesting how it's all so connected.
It really is. It's really, really interesting how you brought that up with what happened, you know, just in the sense of like how we feel emotionally with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so important being willing to, growth requires that we be willing to lean into the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, we're not even talking about comfort here. We're just talking about any aspect of life, right? Just that uncomfortable space. Because even like, you know, even some of the prep work I did for what we're doing for this workshop.
Yeah.
I see Kim's going to hike with me. Yeah. That's awesome.
Kim, we're
going
to do it.
But even just in that.
Somewhere fun, and there's going to be food all along the way.
And coffee. Lots of coffee. Absolutely.
So much coffee.
Yeah. You know, when we just even doing some of the prep work for this, because I hadn't gone back to actually like relive through like just some childhood stuff, just like I've been writing it back up and putting that together. I remember like, okay, we're going to be presenting some of this and feeling like you just said, that feeling, I had this antsiness inside and it's like, a questioning about like, oh, should I go there or not? And the reality is it has nothing, like anything, nothing that's being said is anything that's going to be shocking or anything like that. It's just that I was being vulnerable and growth requires vulnerability. And so, it feels awkward and it feels a little scary, but that's the space of growth.
Because walls feel so safe. That's why we build them up. And also, to a degree, like walls have a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Like to some degree, it's been helpful.
Yep.
And then as we've grown past the stage of needing that wall, then we've not actually known how to then tear the wall down because that's how we just assume to live, you know, our whole life. So it's like, you know, I think it's so powerful what you're saying too, because it's learning how to not have the shame about it either.
Right.
Because at some point, like, it served a purpose, and it, right, and we felt that need to put a wall up. Like, maybe we were vulnerable with somebody and they ran and told people, or they shamed us and made us feel, you know, stupid for the way that we felt, or, you know, and so it was like, we were trying to create these like loving self-protective measures for ourselves.
Yep.
But, you know, in the end, we're just creating, I think you've said it so many times, Dawn, like this prison that we're living in, mm-hmm, but it feels safe.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean it's good.
Right. It just
means I'm safe here by myself in this prison. And so, yeah, it's like to pull the wall down, it you know, it takes God, it takes willingness to be open to see like where have I been living out of like these needs in a really, really unhealthy way. Who can I connect with?
Yes.
You know, join me in the journey as I do this, because it is funny. And Kimbrough, I'll complain with you. But, you know, and the funny thing is, like, I complain a lot with you guys, especially when we're hiking. But like, you feels like I have to feel safe to be, yeah, able to have an attitude with people.
Right.
Like, I really do. Like, gotcha. To show up angry or to like be in a bad mood, like, I just have to be willing. I have to feel like I can around people, because, you know, worship leader Whitney, like, when we're in these roles and people assume us to be a certain way, then it's like, even just feeling this emotion of anger can feel like bad, and like I'm not being, yeah, you know, I can't show that side of me, that how, right, that's how I feel at times. So even, you know, just being able to just be angry, and, you know, even I pointed towards y'all, you don't deserve it, you've done nothing, you know. But in some ways, that's even just been healing for me, to have a space where I can just be like a brat, you know, like, and just, yeah, feel like they're not gonna judge me and be like, wow, you're a worship leader, wow.
Right.
You know,
like, right,
right,
yeah, yeah, that's so, that is super important. We all need those space, safe places, and where we know we're loved.
Yes.
Even because, yeah, you might not be happy being out there, but we love you anyway. Mm-hmm. You,
right,
know, type of thing. So it's just, you know, all the different things that we do, like, wow, that I can just, yeah, we can just show up being ourselves and be, not have to put on the masks,
yeah,
not have to pretend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah. Yeah. How I always felt when you felt safe to complain was like, I felt like, man, she feels like she's comfortable enough with us to be who she, yeah, really is. And, yeah, honestly, I was less annoyed by it. Like, I wasn't annoyed at all. I saw it as like courageous. I was like, wow, you know, and that was something I learned from you when we were training for the triathlon. Like, I was so disconnected. I mean, there was one time where you were like, needed to stop to get food or something. And when you did, I realized, wow, I actually needed to, too. I just kind of pushed that aside to just get the job done or whatever. Like,
yeah,
that takes courage to really,
yeah,
know your needs and express them to, mm-hmm, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And yeah, we all do that in such different ways where we're not,
yep,
mm-hmm,
we're not willing, or we're not, yeah, we're not aware of what it is that we need.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. And I think, I mean, we could talk about this stuff for hours.
And we do.
And it's, yeah, it's so powerful. And, you know, it's just another reason why we have really wanted to create a night,
yeah,
for us to be able to just get together and, like, not only learn and be given tools and stuff, but even just, like, create, like we're saying, like, a space where we can just kind of be ourselves. Like, I think,
right,
everybody, like you're saying, we all live in such intensely fear-based spaces sometimes that, you know, we just want women to know, like, you could come and just be, come as you are. And I know we say that, it's such a churchy thing, right?
Yeah.
But literally, like, if, like, life is busy, so if you need to come in your sweats, if you need to come, like, undone, you know what I mean? Like, there's no sense of, like, performance or needing,
right,
to, I don't know, we just really want people to come and feel like this is a space just to feel seen, to feel heard, to learn stuff, to feel equipped.
Yeah.
As we're really processing these things, such as needs and values, and really how we're functioning out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's going to be really powerful.
Yeah. Same here. Excited,
yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
Super excited for it.
Any last words from you guys or anything before we
let's see, any last words? Just excited. I gotta find a better vocabulary. I keep saying excited. I noticed that in some of my recent videos and podcasts. I use the word excited a lot. So I'm working on my adjective list. Is that an adjective? Work on my English too. So
I don't have any last words.
Come join us, definitely.
Yes.
It's gonna be amazing.
Yes. I was thinking about this today. We haven't really announced it yet, but we do have like 3 scholarships available. So if anybody is watching and you're like, I really, really, really want, I just do not have any extra cash on me. I'm so strapped. Like, we really would love for you to be able to come. So hit up one of us. And we really would love to make that happen. Cause it's at the end of the day, it's like, we just really want to see, all of us on this journey of growth and, you know, realizing who God has called us to be, and that fear doesn't have to be the thing that stops us from doing it. So, if that is you, no shame. Like, we all,
right?
Listen, the economy is economying. So,
it is so economying.
It's economying. Yeah.
Yep.
Or if you, you know, if you have a friend and you're like, please cut. So, just hit one of us up, because we really want to just make sure anybody who wants to come can come and be a part. So,
yep.
Awesome. November 9th. It's at Namba, 6:30, which is, it's going to be so fun. The link for the event is in all of our bios. So if you have more questions, DM one of us, all of us.
And we'll follow it up on that Saturday with those of you, everybody registers. We'll be invited to go. You keep forgetting because you block these things out. But no, that we're doing what we sort of call like a nice, easy hike on Saturday morning. And it is a nice, easy hike. It's more like a walk in a very safe area. For anybody who goes, you'll get an invite to this meetup. So, right, Wade?
Yeah. And I think we're also saying anybody who doesn't go can still come to the meetup, or is it just who comes on Wednesday?
I don't know. What do we want that to be? They can probably still come. Yeah, I'm just playing with everyone. So awesome.
Love it. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for all of you joining.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.